Galatians chapter 5, about verse 22. Galatians 5:22. We've had the worst part of it was 19, 20, 21. Now we're up to the second part, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's our pivot from the bad to the good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I'll put the very top of your lesson there, the best quote I thought from, or most provocative quote from last time, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "You are going to have to look more redeemed than you do if we are to believe the message of redemption." And so what a challenge to all of us. So fruit number three, if you're taking notes or just following along, is first blank is peace. Love, joy, peace. Now, there are a few things that people want or seeking as much as peace. If you're following along online, we are in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, love, joy, and peace. Isn't it interesting we're coming to this topic tonight in a world that is so fraught with anxiousness, and it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, is what's happening in Ukraine, what's going to happen in America, and all this and all that. And so we're looking for peace. Our world desperately needs it. It's like sometimes the world plays lip service to peace, but never achieves it. Really, I think, honestly, we're not going to have peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his kingdom and rules the rod of iron from that 50-mile square mountain in Jerusalem and takes over and runs, and then we're going to have peace. And then permanent peace comes in the new heaven, new earth, the new order, not the new world order. The new order of eternal order, if you would. Now, question number one, where are some places people look for peace? First of all, some search for peace in the bottle. I was interesting today. I was just wondering how we fare in the amount of alcohol consumed per capita. We're not even in the top 10. Here's the top 10 in 2019. Chechnya, Latvia, Moldova, Germany, Lithuania, Ireland, Spain, Uganda, Bulgaria, and Luxembourg. Those are the top 10 alcohol per capita consuming countries in the world. Some look for it in that. Secondly, some search for peace in immoral behavior, an escapade, an affair, whatever you want to call it. We've got a lot of fancy-dancy terms for immorality. Third, some search for it in drugs. I was just heard just this past couple of days that in California State Fair, this coming July, I think it is, they're going to have a booth, of cannabis booth, and the person that wins is going to have the most potent cannabis there. And Dr. Mueller said, "I don't want to be around the judges that day when they're around there tasting." Which, isn't that, do you not find that ironic that we are, what is still illegal in some states, a lot of states, is now going to be at the state fair and promoted? And the only problem the LA Times had with it is, well, teenagers might, and true, teenagers might see it, but maybe perhaps the teenagers are a lot smarter than they think they are, and they're not going to get involved in that. But what I'm saying, there's a lot of problems with that. That we are going, and interestingly enough, the black market sells more cannabis than even the legal market, which is supposed to take in all these taxes. Do they not see, these things bomb out, and I don't know why they continue. Socialism and Marxism has been proved to fall absolutely apart. They're not a viable way to run a country, and yet there are those who continually think that, oh my goodness, everything has, I don't understand it. I think we can put one word on it, S-A-T-A-N, if you want to. Now, those are all my personal opinions, so please don't judge the entire church by my personal opinions. Come on, we go. Third, fourthly, is peace. Some search for peace in their own lives or by ending their own lives. About 6 or 7 suicides in the Bible, and none of them were people who were walking with the Lord at the time. Does suicide mean a person goes to hell? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just simply means a person got so traumatized by life, they thought by ending their lives, they would be better off. But you're going to get, if you're a Christian, you're going to get to heaven, and it's like, we weren't ready for it yet. I won't say that exact way, but we're not. You know, you're not supposed to be here yet. God has His time for us to go. When it's our time, God can very well take us home, whether it's driving home tonight or it's 50 years from now. I don't think I'm going to live 50 more years. It'd be 110. I'd be really, really, really old. But He has my time. Is not our times in His hands? It is. It is. It would seem then our generation has sought peace more than any other, and yet has found that less than anybody else. The word in the Old Testament is shalom, a desire or a prayer that all is well with you. So how are you today? And so we want, oh, I'm doing fine. Well, that's sort of like the idea of shalom. I hope everything's going well with you. I hope your new job, your new car, et cetera. I hope you have whatever, your new cat, or all these things are going well for you, okay? We're hoping that's shalom. Idea, to be made complete, it means wholeness or total well-being. Here's your blank. The idea is that things are under control. Shalom, and that is God. God is the God of peace and the Spirit. This is a spirit fruit, if you would. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. It's not on our own. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Shalom, which one person says, God's got it all together. And that is it. God does have it all together. And I know that's a very loose translation of that, but God is in control. He is sovereignly in control of all things. How can we tell? Sunrise in the morning, sunset tonight, sunrise the next day, seed time, harvest. God's still in the world, the world's still spinning at the exact right tilt. Is it 22.3 degrees or something like that? Right tilt. The sun's still exactly the right distance from the earth. He is still working and holding all things together. He is in control. New Testament word for peace means to bind together. It occurs about 88 times. Also, the word peace in New Testament means, here's your blank, tranquility or serenity. Tranquility is a mind based on the consciousness of a right relation to God. That's where it comes. To have peace, I must be in right with God and be right doing what he wants me to do and have that peace that he brings. We says tranquility of mind based on the consciousness of a right relation to God. For example, think of peace, a country that enjoys peace under the right benevolent government of a good ruler. There have been those in the past. I can give you a lot more opposite. Who's not enjoying peace? North Korea, currently Russia, and Venezuela. The dictatorial, the China. Now, they're going to some, but they're, give them a chance, though, and if they fear for their lives, they may, well, I don't like him. I don't like Xi Jinping at all, but I'm going to die if I say that out loud, etc. North Korea, if you are caught, I believe it is, if you're caught tearing up a picture of the emperor, I think it's death. Death. And then your family is sent into exile. For tearing up a photograph of Kim Jong-un. I think it's his name, Kim Jong-un, son of Kim Jong-il. Peace, that tranquility or serenity of heart, page 2, which comes from the all-pervading consciousness that our times are in the hands of God. Chambers says the inner tranquility and harmony enjoyed by the believer who is living in conformity to the will of God. That is peace. Peace. That dog standing out there, right? He may not be at peace right now. Maybe he wants in here. Maybe he knows one of you, and he wants a pet on the back of his ears. I don't know. He's not real peaceful right now. He probably could come into your house and lay by your fire. Take him home with you tonight. Lay by your fireplace, and he might be just snoring for a fare-thee well. He would be at peace. For us, in all seriousness, I've got to be doing what God wants me to do, walking with him as a Christian. We're not going to have that tranquility otherwise. Webster says, peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Harmony is personal relations, a pact of agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war, or a state of enmity, state of repose, or contrasted with following a strife or turmoil. We're not having turmoil. It's the exact opposite of what's going on in Europe between, as Russia invades Ukraine, there's no peace. It's turmoil. It's the angst on the inside and on the outside. What is the big deal? Well, the big deal is we understand that peace is independent of what's going on. Here's your blank, outside. Peace is independent of what is going on the outside. Peace is harmony and oneness with God's purposes. Remember that Christ, the night of the cross, talked about peace. John 14, I believe, is following. It is, as we well know, the Lord's first Lord's Supper. And if John 14 comes after that, and then comes the night in Gethsemane and the cross the next day. Peace I leave with you, not as I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He was giving peace, even though, what would you be like? You know you're going to go through all that horrendous suffering and then be separated from your father. Would you be at peace? Timothy George says, love's the foundation, joy's the superstructure, and peace is the crown of all. There's a peace for the Christian in the storm, a calm, untroubled spirit, come what may. It is the little bird in that little cleft of the rock, and the storm is raging all around it, and the little bird sitting in that little cleft of the rock and not being troubled by the storm because that peace. Jesus, give it a peace. Here's your blank. He was never in a hurry, never upset, never disturbed. Even as the cross crept ever near with every day he lived above the storm. Question two, when Peter was walking on the water, what caused him to start going under? He took his eyes off God and looked at the waves. That'll do it every time. Have you ever found yourself doing that? You get your eyes off God and look at the waves. It's like, oh, we don't know. We can't fix it. Pastor Tim, you can't fix it all. You have sometimes just got to keep your eyes focused on him and say, Lord, the answer's got to come from you. And that's we all face that. When did peace return? Question three, when he put his eyes back on Christ, when he's back in the boat. When he was near Jesus again, his peace returned. Turn over just for a moment at John 14, please. Look what these verses say. We alluded to them earlier. Post the Last Supper, if you would. Or the first institution of communion, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. John 14, Christ is on his way to Gethsemane soon, and then the cross. 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 16:33, John 16:33, same. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 20:19. John 20:19. If you would. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. What the Lord is about giving peace to his disciples before the cross, after the cross. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to rely upon him. According to Romans 5:1, since we have been justified by faith, what do we have? Peace with God. And we can also have the peace of God. There's a difference. Peace with God. You receive Christ as personal Savior. You have the peace with God. We've been forgiven. The peace of God when we keep our hearts and minds focused on him. Objectively, saints in Christ are peace with God, Romans 5:1. The war between the believer and God is over, and the peace treaty is signed in blood, the precious blood of Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's our position. Missionary Jim Walton was translating the New Testament to a people in the jungles of Colombia, but he was having trouble with the word peace. During this time, Fernando, the chief village chief, was promised a 20-minute plane ride to a location that would have taken him 3 days to travel by walking. The plane was late in arriving in the town, so Fernando departed on foot. When the plane finally came, a runner overtook Fernando and brought him back to the village, but by the time he got back, the plane had already left. So the chief was really irate and went to the missionary and started on and on, angry tirade. Well, fortunately, the missionary happened to have his recorder and recorded the tirade of the chief. When he translated that later, he discovered the chief repeating a phrase, I don't have one heart, I don't have one heart. And the missionary asked the other villages what one heart meant, and they said, it was like, there's nothing between you and the other person. I don't have one heart. And missionary Walton realized that's just the word he needed to translate to the word peace. For us, we have one heart with God when we are at peace with him, when our sins are forgiven. We're not having iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We are at peace when we have that. So we're at one heart. How about in Philippians 4:7? We have the peace that passeth all understanding. We are to reject being anxious. In Philippians chapter 4, 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I'll read those two verses. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the peace of God. And it passes. I don't understand the peace like that. How does he have peace? Because he's trusting in God. That's how he does. Could we say then, in question 7, the peace of God garrisoned Jesus while he was here on earth? Yes. He walked with his Father. He had the peace of the Father. We've heard the old timers say, and especially on old Westerns, I don't know if John Wayne ever said it, but said, have you made your peace with God? Have you made your peace with God? Lots of times before they get ready to shoot him or something like that. Have you made your peace with God? Yes, because you're going to meet him real soon or something like that. It would have some kind of quit. The truth is we cannot. The truth is Jesus has already done it. He has made peace for us at Calvary. We have now to receive it and to believe and confess and receive that payment for ourselves. In the 1800s, the David Livingston of the 1800s was negotiating with African chief about establishing a peace between this chief and the enemy tribe. And the African chief said to David Livingston, he said, how can I be at peace with them while they still have my son as a prisoner? That's exactly what we have today. People want peace with God and they reject the Christ of the Bible. Well, I reject Jesus, but I believe in God. No, you can't have it like that. You may voice that, but you cannot reject the Jesus who is God, and I believe in the Father as God. No, Jesus is God. And so they are a team. A very, 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 very close team. They're together, and you can't separate them. How can I have peace, be at peace with them while they still have my son a prisoner? Philip says, the peace of God cannot be disturbed. No man, no combination of men, no demon, no coalition of demons can break his Olympian calm. It is the unassailable peace of one who is all wise and all powerful, who has all things under his control, who overlooks no detail, fears no foe, makes no mistake, and one who proceeds majestically onward toward goals and objectives that he himself has set. He is. It's the peace that I was reading this morning in Daniel. As soon as I get done with Daniel, I have that whole side finished on my prayer reading. But the three Hebrew children, I was thinking now, they were thrown into the furnace, and the guys who threw them in got killed, right? And so Nebuchadnezzar comes close enough to see them, and I'm sure of it before, but how do they get out of there? They walk out. It's like the guys don't go in there and try to pull them out. It's like they just, and they come right on out. The peace of God. How would you have felt being thrown into a furnace so hot that the guys that are throwing you in there die throwing you in? You'd have been dead before you hit. But yet they're in there walking around. The Son of God is with him. I really would not be surprised if Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. Because if you look at chapter 4, I'm not saying he's for sure with apodictic certainty, but he does worship the God after he spends 7 years as a beast in the field. He worships the God of heaven. And so, anyway, these Hebrew children had that peace. Question 6, again, question number 6, second time around. Compare the Peter prior to crucifixion with the Peter in prison. You remember in Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison? Is he biting his nails in prison? No. Is he walking up and down, pacing up and down, up and down, up and down, shaking? And no, he's not. Is he doing? Is he breaking out into a cold sweat? Is he tearing at his fetters? Please, I've got to get out of here as fast as I can. No, he's sleeping. An angel comes and wakes him up and takes him out. That's the Peter post-resurrection. The Peter prior to the resurrection. Lord, I'll go with you to death if I have to. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, you're going to deny me thrice before, you know, deny me three times. The Peter here, though, he has the power of the Spirit upon him, and he is different. He has that peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I like this poem. It says, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace with sorrow surging round. On Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and our. Jesus has vanquished death and all of its powers. It is enough, earth's struggles soon shall cease. And Jesus called to heavens, perfect peace. Won't peace be one of the great aspects of heaven? To have peace and not worry and not be fretting and, oh, no, I'm sorry, you don't worry. You're just strongly concerned. You're strongly concerned. And I worry some. We shouldn't say that, but I'm a sinful human. You know, I'm a saved human, but I worry at times. I shouldn't be. It's like, have you ever ridden a car without shock absorbers?
perhaps. It's like, or truck without shock absorbers. I remember we were going down to Bob Jones to the National Fine Arts Competition, and on the way back from New Jersey, we went from New Jersey down to South Carolina. On the way back, the bus had one of those Greyhound buses. The little airbag thing went out. And like it was like riding a wagon, and so they had to stop. We had to stop. We spent I don't know how many hours at the mall waiting for them to get fixed. They got a new, et cetera, et cetera. And that's peace is sort of like the shock absorbers of our life. Things come along, and we can just go smooth, and they're going like this, and we're going smooth, and they're going and we're. But so often, here's me. I'm going with the shock absorbers. And, oh, Lord, what you, great. Instead of, Lord, whatever comes what may, we're going to keep on trusting. We don't know what's happening. That's the way we should be, shouldn't it? Let the shock absorbers of his truth. And it's like when if you're 20, from my understanding, I don't think I've ever been down 25 feet under the ocean surface, but there can be a storm on top of the water and you're so far down, it doesn't even bother you. It was like Dr. Merritt tells of Korean Christians who were undergoing persecution, and they said this, they said, we are just like nails. The harder you drive us, the deeper you drive us, and the deeper you drive us, the more peaceful it becomes. Can you imagine? It's like the people of yesterday, the martyrs of yesterday. How is that one experience of peace? How did we experience a peace as mentioned in Isaiah 26:3? That would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. That should be us. Stayed carries the idea of placing or laying upon or resting upon. When we rest our minds upon the person and character of God, we can experience that peace if we get our eyes off the waves. Dr. Smiley Blanton, director of the American Foundation of Religion and Psychiatry, was once asked if he read the Bible. He said these words, I not only read it, I study it. It is the greatest textbook on human behavior ever put together. If people would just absorb its message, a lot of us psychiatrists could close our offices and go fishing. If we would just absorb what is in the scriptures. Should we be reading our Bibles daily? Yes. As Derry Vine says, the most well-adjusted people I know are Christians who search the scriptures daily to find and obey God's truths. In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule is like an umpire. The umpire oversees the baseball game and he rules you out or safe, etc. That's the peace. It should rule over my life. Now, I'll have to say, and you know me well enough, having been the time I've been here, that I don't always have the peace. I should have, because what I have, I get my eyes on those things around me. What's going to happen here? I don't know what's going to happen here. What's going to happen this, that? I don't know. But we should have the peace of God rule in our hearts as we should. It is the umpire who says, you're out or you're safe. And so that's the Holy Spirit. Well, says maybe you're out to a bad activity or a bad movie or whatever, and you're safe to a good book or to reading the Bible, etc. And that's the peace of God ruling in our hearts and lives. Psychologist William James said that every sensation or contact we have with the world leaves a trace among our 10 billion brain cells. These traces are permanent and continually accumulative in our brains. The total of these sensations, according to Dr. James, is our personality and character. He then says that everything we do is easier to do the same thing again. That everything we do makes it easier to do the same thing again. You start reading your Bible and get up early, 15 minutes early, half hour early, and it becomes easier. I remember when I first started that years ago in the mid-90s, I started reading my Bible, I was like 29 minutes a day, I think it was, started there. And now it's just like old hat. It's like the best part of the day. I can get my breakfast ready, I can get on my blue easy chair, my feet up, and I can just sit and finish prayer. If I need to finish prayer, you have it finished by then, then get devotional books out and read. That's just part of life now. That's just part of them. And as you develop that habit, it just becomes, the more you do it, the more it becomes part of your life. Peace. A group of men were surveyed and asked about their home life. What did they want more than anything? And they said, what I want more than anything is peace at home. We want peace at church? Yes, we want peace at church as well. What will have to happen to truly have peace on earth? And question number 8, that is when the Prince of Peace comes to rule and to reign. At a Bible conference, there's a man sharing about the return of Christ. And the word is Maranatha. We call it Maranatha. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. That's a key word for believers. Well, the next morning, these two ladies who might not have had their hearing aids in just right or something or another, and they're talking to one another, each other, and they say, "Marijuana, sister, marijuana," instead of "Maranatha, the Lord is coming." So they evidently had heard differently. And this was even before the start of cannabis industry. So we thought, the Lord's coming back. Peace. That should give us the peace of God that he is returning. He has a monopoly on it. God is the God of peace. God is the God of love. He has a monopoly on this. He has a monopoly on truth. He's the God of truth. So the best thing we can do is just to trust him, casting all our care upon him, knowing he cares for us. And our time is not his time. I'm going to use this. It's like, have you ever seen a dog who's on a leash and he doesn't get out much, or he wants to get away from his owner, and he is pulling, and he's huffing, and he's breathing heavy, and he's like pulling the people, and he's like half his windpipe's closed because he's pulling on his chains like that, and the owner's trying to hold him back. And if you would just walk beside the owner as he would want you to do, it is a whole lot more fun for you and for who's walking you. But so often I'm like, I want to do that. Come on, Lord. And we're like, instead of, okay. Perhaps that's what the person was thinking. And he walks with me and talks with me. Can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. So a journey is no fun for two people if one walks like 20 feet ahead. The whole purpose, isn't it not, to walk together, and we will avoid the huffing and puffing and the dragging the dog walker along. So may that be, that's for me. I thought, how apropos for me. Sometimes I got to get all these things. Lord, did you not know we got to do all these things instead of just, okay, trust you, we're going to walk together. That's what he wants. Is that what he wants? It is. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the peace offered when we place our trust and faith in you, that you know the end from the beginning. Lord, even the last couple of weeks has put the world in such turmoil. It's easy to get, well, what's going to happen next, or what's going to happen here? Lord, you are still in control. And we'll look back, and once we get to heaven, we'll look back, and we'll look back and say, we know God had a design and purpose for all that. We didn't know it. We didn't see it. We can't see it. He's God, and we're not. Lord, help us not to pull on the collar. Help us not to pull on the leash. Help us to enjoy that side-by-side walk, Pastor. You need to enjoy that. Help us to do that. Give us safety as we go home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.